Before we'll experience any kind of peace on Earth, Skip Heitzig says something very important has to take place.
I've worked with law enforcement officers long enough to know that their code word for criminals and perpetrators is simply the bad guy. And they feel really good when they can follow the lead and apprehend and incarcerate the bad guy in a crime scene. The ultimate bad guy is Satan himself. And chapter 20 shows that before the millennial kingdom on earth can begin, this guy has to be caught and apprehended and incarcerated. There can be no 1,000 years of peace on earth until that happens.
Make the connection.
In classic westerns, the hero in the white hat always came out on top. He'd save the day, put the bad guy in the black hat away in jail, and then ride off into the sunset. Well, a look at the book of Revelation reveals that the end of the world will play out a lot like a classic western, with Jesus Christ on the white horse imprisoning the black-hearted devil and his minions. What might a world without Satan look like? We'll find out today on The Connection with Skip Heitzig. But first, we want to tell you about this month's Connection resource.
Every day, we're barraged by headlines and news stories that seem to spell certain doom. And it's so easy to become discouraged. But what does God's Word, the ultimate authority, have to say about current events and the end times? In this month's Connection resource, you'll receive prophecy expert Mark Hitchcock's book, Blood Moons Rising, which takes a critical look at the recent blood moon eclipses in relation to the biblical blood moon prophecy. You'll also receive Pastor Skip Heitzig's book, You Can Understand the Book of Revelation, which clearly lays out how to interpret the prophecies of Revelation. These two informative and easy-to-read books are yours today for only $25 when you order online at skipheitzig.com or call The Connection at 1-800-922-1888. Don't let this world overwhelm you. Plant your feet firmly on the solid foundation of God's Word. Order today at skipheitzig.com.
You know, Jesus Christ is the greatest hero in all of history. And one day, his victory over Satan and death will be complete. We'll have a chance to ride off into the victorious light of heaven. If that sounds like a story you'd like to be a part of, stick around to learn more about how you can do so.
And make the connection.
Today, we'll examine some verses in Revelation chapter 20. So if you'll open your Bibles, Skip Heitzig starts today's study with a slightly altered version of a well-known fairy tale.
One of the big issues that people have with Christianity is the problem of evil. Indeed, it's a problem. It's everywhere. They say, when will evil finally end? When will all the bad guys get put away? Why does it all have to continue so long? Moreover, as our culture moves on, it seems that we'll take values of what is good and evil and turn them around. Consider a modern-day telling of Little Red Riding Hood. It would go something like this. Once upon a time in a faraway country lived a little girl called Red Riding Hood. One day, her mother asked her to take a basket of fruit to her grandmother, who had been ill and lived alone in a cottage in the forest. It happened that a wolf was lurking in the bushes and overheard the conversation. Well, he decided to take a shortcut to grandmother's house and get the goodies for himself. The wolf killed the grandmother, then dressed in her nightgown and jumped into bed to await the little girl. When she arrived, he made several nasty suggestions and then tried to grab her. But by this time, the child was very frightened and ran screaming from the cottage. A woodcutter working nearby heard her cries and rushed to the rescue. He killed the wolf with his axe, thereby saving Red Riding Hood's life. All the townspeople hurried to the scene and proclaimed the woodcutter a hero. But at the inquest, several facts emerged. The wolf had never been advised of his rights. The woodcutter had made no warning swings before striking the fatal blow. The Civil Liberties Union stressed the point that although the act of eating grandma may have been in bad taste, the wolf was only doing his thing and thus did not deserve the death penalty. The SDS, Students for a Democratic Society, contended that the killing of grandmother should be considered self-defense since she was over 30 and therefore couldn't be taken seriously because the wolf was trying to make love and not war. On the basis of these considerations, it was decided there was no valid basis for the charges against the wolf. Moreover, the woodcutter was indicted for unaggravated assault with a deadly weapon. Several nights later, the woodcutter's cottage was burned to the ground. And 1 year from the date of the incident at Grandma's, the cottage was made a shrine for the wolf who had bled and died there. All the village officials spoke at the dedication, but it was Red Riding Hood who gave the most touching tribute. She said that while she had been selfishly grateful for the woodcutter's intervention, she realized in retrospect that he had overreacted. As she knelt and placed a wreath in honor of the brave wolf, there wasn't a dry eye in the whole forest. Isaiah the prophet said, "Woe to those who call evil good and who call good evil." To take the very principles of what is valued and completely turn them around. Woe to them. And so we wonder, when's that going to end? Well, the same Isaiah who wrote what I just quoted to you also predicted a time of righteousness. He said these words, "The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as waters cover the sea." There is coming a time. There is coming a time of peace, of justice, of divine retribution, followed by an age, an era of utopia. It won't be a dream. I've worked with law enforcement officers long enough to know that their code word for criminals and perpetrators is simply the bad guy. And they feel really good when they can follow the lead and apprehend and incarcerate the bad guy in a crime scene. The ultimate bad guy is Satan himself. And chapter 20 shows that before the millennial kingdom on earth can begin, this guy has to be caught and apprehended and incarcerated. There can be no 1,000 years of peace on earth until that happens. In chapter 20, verses 1 through 3, "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should not deceive the nations. He should deceive the nations no more until 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while." Satan is at large. He is on the move. His head was bruised, Genesis 3:15 predicted, and his head was bruised at the cross. But here he's put away, put in jail, incarcerated for 1,000 years before he's finally and eternally consigned to what's called the lake of fire, which shows up later on in this chapter. But this morning, because this is such a vital component of your eternity and mine, let's just look at these three verses again. And let's consider it, let's unpack it in four movements. Let's look at the pursuer, the angel who's doing the job. let's consider the prisoner himself, that is Satan, the place where he's going to be incarcerated, and finally, the whole purpose for it. So verse 1 tells us the pursuer. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Now, we don't know who this angel is. Could be just any one of the angels. My view is that it's probably, and again, it's just my opinion, it's probably Michael. Jude calls him the archangel. He's like the big bouncer angel. He'd be the perfect guy for this job. And he's introduced in the book of Revelation in chapter 12. In verse 7, it says, "And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon." Now, it's the end of the tribulation. And the tribulation ends with Jesus Christ coming back. And he puts an end to a battle of nations that have gathered against him and against his people at Jerusalem, the Jewish people, the covenant people. And he puts an end to that battle. And Michael will be a part of that. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, "At that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people." And I got to think that Michael would love the job. He's been the arch enemy of Satan from the beginning. They're both high-ranking angels. They both fought each other. In Jude, verse 9, it says, "Michael the archangel, disputing or contending or fighting with the devil about the body of Moses." So it would just make sense that the angel, the pursuer, the police officer arresting the bad guy would be Michael. I want to throw this in because it's important at this point. One of the biggest lies Satan has is that he's somehow the comparable opposite of God. And this idea has even gotten into the minds of some Christians, that you have this big cosmic battle, and in this corner is God, and in this corner is the devil. As if they're somehow cosmic comparable opposites. Nothing could be further from the truth. The devil is not the opposite of God. He doesn't, on his best day, come close to any of the power, any of the strength, any of the might of the one who created him. Satan is not omnipresent, not omniscient, not omnipotent. He would be more closely matched to Michael. Both high-ranking angels. One fell, Satan, one did not. Now, when Satan fell, how many angels went with him? What's the proportion? A third of the angelic hosts. And I just got to frame this for your perspective once again, that rather than getting all weirded out because there's demons out there, and there are, I'm not minimizing that. If one third fell, how many stayed? Yeah, two thirds. So for every demon, there's two good angels. And that's good news to you and I, because the Bible says they help us. And frankly, I need all the help I can get. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, they are ministering spirits sent to minister to those who inherit salvation. And so, in verse 1, this angel comes down from heaven with a very specific agenda to pursue, to apprehend, to incarcerate, to lock up for 1,000 years Satan. Notice he has the key to the bottomless pit. The key designates authority. You don't get in the door without the key. Here at Calvary, we have lots of different rooms with lots of different locks, and they take lots of different keys. But there are some keys that are given out. We call it the A key. In fact, right on the key, it says A. Now, the A key will let you in any door. This angel has the A key. He can even unlock the bottomless pit and incarcerate those that God sends him to do. And it's got to be a great moment for this angel. It's like whoever it is like, all right, the day has come. Here goes. Because this is the day of Satan's humbling. This is the one who wanted to be lifted up above all the other beings. He was top of the heap. In Isaiah chapter 14, we read that Satan said, "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High." That's what he said. Now listen to what God said to him, same chapter. Yet you shall be brought down to hell, to the lowest sides of the pit. And now we read the fulfillment of that prediction in Isaiah 14. Years ago in London, there was a bar, a tavern, and it went by the name of The Devil and St. Dunstan. The Devil and St. Dunstan. You know, the British can have the weirdest names for things. Well, after court, a lot of lawyers in the area would go to the bar. They'd talk about the court cases. And so they would hang signs on their office doors, "Gone to the Devil." Because it was the abbreviated name for the tavern, The Devil and St. Dunstan. Well, so many of these signs appeared that after a period of time, the very idea was changed and the meaning was changed. Gone to the devil meant gone to ruin. And that's where the term comes from. That bar in England, the tavern, gone to the devil. When Satan caused our first parents in the garden to buy into his lies, and there was that great fall and the curse placed upon humanity, it was as if a sign were hung over the earth, gone to the devil. But now, it's as if a new sign gets posted over the inhabitation of Satan himself, gone to the pit, where he will be there for 1,000 years. You know what comes to my mind? Remember in The Wizard of Oz, ding dong, the witch is dead. Witch, old witch, the wicked witch. Well, ding dong, the witch, in this case, the devil, is incarcerated for 1,000 years. Let's look at this prisoner. Notice that in verse 2, he goes by not one, but four different titles. John writes, he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Now, most people today don't believe in a literal devil. I do. You and I do. Christians who believe the Bible do. But people, for the most part, don't buy into the literalness of the devil. He's a figure of speech. He's the embodiment of evil. He's the stuff that movies are made out of or songs are made out of. I did a little search. Here's a sampling of songs that use the devil in it. The Devil in the Deep Blue Sea. The Devil with the Red Dress On. The Devil Went Down to Georgia. I won't dispute that. The Devil in Her Heart. Sympathy for the Devil. Run, Devil, Run. The Devil Inside. The Devil's Train. Gallup organization did a poll. They said 70% of Americans believe in the devil, but half of the 70% say that he's a personal being. The other half say that he's the embodiment of evil, the impersonal force of evil. It's just a name for evil. Moreover, let me break it down for you, because the Barna Research Group asked people to respond to this statement. Here's the statement. The devil, Satan, is not a living being. He's just the symbol of evil. Now listen to this. Of those who said they're born-again Christians, 32% strongly agreed with that statement. 11% somewhat agreed with that statement. 5% said they don't know. That means 48% of those who claim to be born-again Christians either say the devil is just a symbol of evil, not a real being, or they don't know. That's staggering. You know, it's like the two little six-year-old boys, they were discussing the devil and the theology of the devil, and it'll give you insight into the theology of a six-year-old. One little boy said, "Well, I don't believe in the devil." The other boy said, "Well, I believe in the devil. You should too, because he's written all the way through the Bible. It's written about him." And the first boy said, "Yeah, but it's not like really actually true. The devil's like Santa Claus. He turns out to be your dad." I'd never share that on Father's Day. Now notice that in verse 2, he's called the dragon. Now, that term for the devil, the dragon, is a Book of Revelation term. You find it 13 times in the scripture, all in the Book of Revelation. Here's why. That will be his character and nature in the end times. Vicious, cruel, devouring, like a dragon. Also, he's called the serpent of old. Now, that takes us back to Genesis chapter 3, when that beautiful creature appeared to Eve and deceived her. And then, just so you don't mistake who it is, two other titles are given him. The devil, diabolos, means slanderer or one who defames. And you know why he's called that, don't you? Because the scripture says he is before the throne of God, accusing us before God night and day. Now, he's got to have a lot on us if he can every night, every day, talk about God's children and slander us and defame us before his throne. And then he's called Satan. That's his most common name in the Bible. That appears 54 times. And Satan simply means enemy. He's your enemy. He's your adversary. That's what Satan means. Now that is good news. Because if you want to have any relationship at all with the devil, it ought to be that he's your enemy. You don't want him as a friend.
Well, when it comes to change, anything that you've recently heard about pales in comparison to the change we'll see during this time that Skip has just talked to us about today. It just goes to show that the only one who can truly change things, be it a life or the world itself, is Jesus Christ. And that's going to wrap up our time for today. But before we go, Skip and Lenya have a few more thoughts they'd like to share. Lenya?
Skip, I just can't resist this from the 80s Saturday Night Live. Could it be Satan? Today we explored and talked about Satan, and I know we joke about it. He could be the red guy in the suit with tails and a pitchfork, or, you know, there's other mockings of him, but he's a real dude.
He's and a real person.
It's, yeah, a really serious force against
the enemy of our soul.
That's right. And someday he will be bound for a 1,000 years, and amen, let it come quickly.
None too soon.
But today it's important for us, before he is bound, that we put on our spiritual armor, that we're aware of his wiles, and that we can stand, and having done all to stand therefore. So what are some resources that you've developed to help listeners equip themselves for daily battle?
Yeah, it is all about equipping, and we live for equipping people with God's truth. And so we have a couple websites. I just want our listeners to know that these are products. Some of them you can purchase. You can buy them. Most of them you don't have to buy. They're free of charge.
If it's for free.
It's for me. So at skipheitzig.com, we have teaching archives of God's truth, God's Word, all 66 books of the Bible. Every verse of Scripture, every chapter is available. They're also organized topically, and we have series that deal with topics. There's over 2,000 messages. And you can just listen to them. You can download them. You can get the little app for your phone, and you can listen to it that way. We also have Devo Mail. That's devotional email that we send every week that gives a devotional thought and a little bit of a Bible study to get your week started right. And we encourage people to be part of the Devo Mail. And so we have teachings, some that I've done, some that you've done, Lenya, and we have others as well. And I did mention the app. That's for Android and iPhones and iPad. Also available on Google Play or at the App Store on Apple, but it lets you take the teachings on the go. I'm all about apps, and I have apps that different teachers or sources have that I can download their messages and listen to them, and I can build my own playlist.
Right.
It's really cool.
The Word of God, and that's what you're offering people, is the sword, and we fight so well with it, it can divide between soul and spirit.
And if people don't like to listen, they want to watch, they can get the Skip Heitzig Roku channel and watch a video archives, host a Bible study in your home. We have specials on that as well, like Learning from the Land. Imagine being able to take a video tour of Israel, all of the sites, be able to see it via video and have that site explained in its biblical context.
Well, thanks, Skip and Lenya. And all the info about that Roku device available now at skipheitzig.com. And remember to get in touch with us for a copy of today's message, Heaven on Earth, The Bad Guys Bound. Each copy is available on CD for just $6. Or for just $35, you can order the entire series From the Edge of Eternity, preloaded on an MP3 player, complete with earbuds and a charger. Give us a call to find out more at 1-800-922-1888 or order online at skipheitzig.com. And just a reminder, anything you share above that suggested donation will help us continue these daily broadcasts in your area. So call today, 1-800-922-1888. Or write us at The Connection. That's P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
I think it's safe to say that any place could be heavenly if only evil could be bound. So we'll explore that more tomorrow with Skip Heitzig here on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.